Title. Choosing reference eras for the final balance advanced. All right, let's get into a level of referencing that actually changes your mixes. Most people here use references and they just grab two current bangers, drop them in the session, and hope for the best. That's not advanced referencing. Advanced referencing is choosing reference eras on purpose, because in drum and bass, the era you're aiming for quietly decides your mix targets. And I mean real targets, how heavy the sub sits, how sharp the drum transients are, how dominant the break is, how bright the top feels, how wide the stereo image goes, and even how pinned or dynamic the drop feels. So in this lesson, you're going to build a reference system inside Ableton Live that's fast enough to use constantly, and specific enough to keep you locked to an era, while you do the final balance. By the end, you should have a mix that feels era-faithful, not just technically clean. Now first, why are we building? You're building a simple workflow I call a reference rack plus era targets approach. The idea is this. You compare your mix against 3 to 5 tracks from a single chosen era, plus one bridge track that gives you a reality check. You level match properly, so louder doesn't trick you. And you check for main anchors that define a lot of drum and bass mixes, sub weight, kick versus sub relationship, snare and break dominance, and high-end brightness or air. And you'll make the moves using stock Ableton devices, because if you can't get this done with EQ8, compressor, glue, saturator, utility, limiter, and spectrum, you're not missing a plugin, you're missing a target. Step 1 is choosing your era targets, not just good tracks. Pick an era based on what you want the mix to feel like at the finish line. If you're going late 90s jungle or early drum and bass, your mix target usually has breaks more upfront, a mid-forward push, less super extended sub, and a top end that's not glossy. It might even be bright, but it's bright in a grainy, textured way, not airband polish. Width often comes from the break and room vibe, not from giant super wide synth layers. If you're going for that neuro and techie 2000s into early 2010s thing, the low end tends to be more controlled and surgical. Kick and sub separation gets tighter. The upper mids of the bass get more aggressive, more teeth. Hats are brighter, transients are more defined. If you're going modern rolling or dancefloor, mid-2010s to now, you're usually dealing with bigger sub, cleaner punch, cleaner highs, more consistent loudness, and a wider, more controlled stereo picture. But still, mono low-end discipline is non-negotiable, so pick one primary era. Commit to it for this mix pass. Then pick your references like this, 3 tracks from that era as your main references, 1 bridge reference from an adjacent era or a modern master you love, and 1 translation reference something you know works in the club, in the car, and on earbuds. And here's a teacher note that saves people months of confusion. Keep your references stylistically close. If you're mixing a dark roller and you reference a liquid tune, you'll chase the wrong brightness, the wrong vocal space, and the wrong drum attitude. Your mix will get better and also further away from your goal. Don't do that to yourself. Okay, step 2, set up a reference lane in Ableton so A and B is instant, and routing doesn't become spaghetti. Create an auto track and name it REF. Drag your references into that one track. Warping is optional. If you want true playback speed, turn warp off. If you're mainly comparing tonal balance, warp on is fine. Just be consistent. Now do something important. Solo safe that REF track. Depending on your live version, you can right-click the solo button and choose solo safe, or use the modifier click method. The point is, when you solo your mix, you don't want your reference track to get muted in weird ways, and when you solo the reference, you don't want to bypass your workflow. Now the routing rule that matters most in this whole lesson. Your references must bypass your mix bus chain. If your mix bus has glue, saturation, limiting anything your reference should not go through that. Otherwise, you're comparing your processed mix to a processed reference through your processing, which is like trying to match paint color while wearing tinted glasses. The simple method. Put your mix bus chain on a separate track called Mixbus. Route all your mix elements into that Mixbus. Then route Mixbus to the master. Route REF straight to the master output so it bypasses Mixbus processing. That one setup alone makes your referencing 10 times more trustworthy. Step 3. Loudness match your references. Because if you don't, you lose. Every time. Put a utility as the first device on the REF track and use the gain to match perceived loudness to your mix. And yes, perceived loudness, not just peak level. Here's a quick method. Loop the loudest section of your mix, usually drop A. Then loop the loudest section of the reference. Key map solo switching so you can flip between REF and Mixbus instantly, like a DJ cut. and then adjust the utility gain on REF until switching doesn't feel like the volume jumps. If you want to be extra precise, use two utilities, one for broad matching, one for tiny trim moves, like plus or minus half a dB, that stops you from overshooting. Also, hit mono occasionally. Utility makes that easy. In drum and bass, mono tells the truth fast, especially about low end and harshness. Now step 4, build what I call era listening checkpoints. This is where people level up, because you stop doing vague referencing like this feels better, and you start checking specific anchors that define an era. First, create markers in arrangement. Put markers at intro, drop A, mid breakdown, and drop B. Drop B is important, because it's often denser, and people accidentally mix only drop A and then wonder why drop B explodes. Now, at each marker, you do a slash B checks for 4 checkpoints. Checkpoint A, subweight and low end shape, roughly 20 to 80 Hz. Put spectrum on your mix bus so you can see the general energy shape, but don't worship it. Use it to confirm what you already hear. What you're listening for depends on era. In 90s jungle, the sub might be less continuous, more note-like, sometimes less extended. In modern rolling, the sub is often steadier, centered, and louder relative to the drums, with this carpet of stability. If your sub feels wide or facey, fix that at the source. Utility on the sub or bass group. Width to 0%. Lock it to mono. If your sub is loud but not felt, don't just crank 40 Hz. Add harmonics. Put saturator on the bass group. Soft clip on. Drive maybe 1 to 4 dB and keep it mixed in reasonably. You're trying to help small speakers translate the bass, not turn your sub into distortion. Teacher reminder, if you can't identify the bass note in the reference but you can in yours or the opposite, you're not just EQing. You're matching an era's bass intelligibility. Sometimes older mixes feel more felt than sung. Sometimes modern mixes make the pitch clearer through harmonics. Notice that difference. Checkpoint B, kick versus sub relationship, punch versus sustain. Group your drums and bass sensibly. Kick, snare, breaks, bass. Then do a quick diagnostic. Mute the breaks and listen to kick plus sub only. Then unmute breaks and see if the kick disappears. If your kick vanishes when the breaks come back, don't automatically boost the kick. Often it's the break stealing low punch. Try EQ8 on the breaks with a small dip around 60 to 110 Hz, like 1 or 2 dB, medium Q. Then, if you need kick definition, drum boss on the kick is your friend. A little drive and transients up carefully. Keep boom off or very low if you want tight modern rollers. Checkpoint C. Snare crack and break dominance, roughly 180 Hz up to 6 kHz. This is where jungle versus modern reveals itself instantly. Jungle and 90s references often have more break attitude and mid-forward snare body. Modern references usually have cleaner separation, a defined snare body around 200 Hz, crack around maybe 2 to 4 kHz, plus air up top. If your snare lacks crack, EQ8 on the snare group, gentle boost around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Keep it subtle. If it's boxy, dip 250 to 500 Hz. If breaks are masking the snare transient, do a pro move with stock tools. Put a compressor on the breaks and sidechain it from the snare. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so the transient still speaks. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction right on snare hits. Subtle. You're not pumping. You're making room. Checkpoint D. High end and air. Around 8 to 16 kHz. Modern drum and bass often has a cleaner, brighter top. Jungle can be bright too, but it's more texture than polish. If your mix is dull compared to your era reference, try a gentle high shelf on hats or drums around 8 to 10k, have a dB to 2 dB. If it's harsh, don't just cut all the highs. Often harshness lives lower, around 3 to 6k. Dip the offending group maybe hats, maybe a Reese layer. If the high band is peaky, multiband dynamics can gently tame it by 1 or 2 dB. Gentle is the whole point. You're controlling spikes, not flattening life. Now, before we go further, I want to give you an advanced ears routine that stops drift. It's called an era bias correction loop. Do 30 seconds of your chosen era reference at matched loudness, then 30 seconds of your mix, then 10 seconds of silence. Literally stop playback, and then write one sentence. The reference feels more blank in the blank band. Example, the reference feels more spiky around 3 to 5k in the breaks, or the reference feels steadier around 45 to 55 Hz. That language forces you out of vague mixing thoughts like more glue, and into decisions that actually match an era. Also, capture a few anchors as numbers you can revisit. Not because you're mixing with spreadsheets, but because final balance needs consistency. One anchor is crest factor behavior, meaning how much movement does the drop have? Older eras often look and feel more dynamic. Modern masters can feel more pinned and dense. You can approximate this by watching how your master peak behaves, how often it kisses the top, how much it moves. Another anchor is stereo discipline. Decide a rule like width lives above 200 HZ. Center stays solid through the base. Then enforce it across the mix. This is how you avoid wide, unstable low mids that ruin translation. Next step. Use a bridge reference so you don't do era cosplay. If you only reference 90s jungle, you might undercook the sub for modern playback systems. If you only reference modern, you might sterilize the break attitude. So do 80% of your decisions against your chosen era, then the final 20% against the bridge track. Your job is not to become modern. Your job is to confirm your track still translates, sub doesn't disappear, top end doesn't rip your face off on earbuds, and loudness isn't wildly off even if you're not mastering. If you want an even more advanced approach, do triangle referencing. One reference is the main era aesthetic. One is a constraint reference that forces one behavior, like a very break forward mids or restrained top end. And one is a reality check modern track for translation. Each reference has one job, and that stops you from chasing the wrong thing. Now step 6, final balance pass with a clean mix bus chain. Keep it minimal. You're mixing, not entering the loudness war. Try the stock only chain on the mix bus. EQ 8 first, high pass around 20 to 25 HZ to remove rumble. Tiny tonal nudges only, like under 1 dB. Then glue compressor, attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the loudest sections. You want cohesion, not flattening. Optional saturator, soft clip-on, drive maybe half a dB to 2 dB. Just to add density if your references feel more printed. This audio version is shortened for playback.